And so our text for this morning's meditation is from John chapter 16, these words. But if I go, I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we're still a couple of weeks out, a few weeks out, from celebrating the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church on the day of Pentecost. We celebrate that day, Pentecost Sunday, at the end of May this year, May 31st. And I make note of this. I begin by pointing this out for our text for this morning from the Gospel of John, from Christ's last discourse with his disciples before his crucifixion. Yes, our text for this morning is that of Christ telling his disciples, telling us even, that he would send, that Christ would send the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to the disciples, to his church, to us, once Christ had been crucified, risen again from the dead, and ascended into heaven. I tell you the truth, Christ said. I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus concerning the Holy Spirit, concerning his sending of the Holy Spirit to us. Now, what does the Holy Spirit actually do, even yet today? Well, Christ told the disciples what the Holy Spirit would do. He uses this word, right? Convict. That is what the Holy Spirit would do. Convict. That's what Jesus said. Convict the world of sin. Convict the world of righteousness. Convict the world of judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit was to do, would do, and still does. Now why? Why does he do that? Why does the Holy Spirit convict of sin and righteousness and judgment? Well, the Holy Spirit would convict of sin and righteousness and judgment only because of Christ. Only because of Christ. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Once the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon the church, once the Holy Spirit would be sent to the church by Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit would be tied to Jesus, to who Jesus was, to what he did, to what Jesus continues to do. He'll convict the world concerning sin, so Jesus, the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Continuing, he will, that is the Holy Spirit, he'll convict the world of righteousness because I, that is Jesus, I go to the Father. And you'll see me no longer. And finally, he'll convict the world of judgment because the ruler of this world, that is Satan, is judged. How is Satan judged? Through the work of Christ. Through his crucifixion, his resurrection. So the descent into hell. Now, admittedly, there's a lot to swallow, a lot to grasp, a lot to comprehend in what Jesus says there in John 16. What Jesus says about the work of the Holy Spirit, about the work of the Holy Spirit in relation to Jesus himself. That's really not too hard to grasp, is it? For what is it? For what it is a description of the work of the Holy Spirit in these end times. His program, we would say today, the way in which the Holy Spirit will work and does work until Christ himself returns visibly on the last day. And that is, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment, and that sin, that righteousness, that judgment, these things, they're not simply floating out in space randomly, desperate concepts that somehow have to do with God in some way or our place in the world or luck or fate or karma. But the sin and righteousness and judgment, these convictions of the Holy Spirit, are tied completely and solely to Jesus. So then, if that is the case, that the Holy Spirit in these end times is doing such Christ-centered, Jesus-centered convicting, how then does he do it? How does the Holy Spirit do it? What means does he use to convict? When does the Holy Spirit convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment? Well, the Holy Spirit is doing that convicting right now. Right this moment. Right this moment, for the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to convict the world in these end times. That's why the Word of God is called what? The sword. The sword of the Spirit. Holy Spirit uses the law to convict us of sin, of the sin which we commit, and ultimately and tragically of the sin of not believing in Jesus, of rejecting Jesus, of turning our ears off to Jesus. Because when we hear of Jesus, we think of hillbillies with shotguns or televangelists crying their makeup all over the screen asking for money, or religious zealots screaming at us at the top of their lungs about some obscure point, instead of simply thinking of Jesus. Listening to the words of Jesus. Listening to the Word of God. Allowing the Holy Spirit to work upon us, exposing our life for what it is, a life so often of arrogance, of pride, of self-centeredness, even narcissistic consumption, which now simply is becoming more and more and more impossible as public expressions of our own importance in how we dress and how we move and act and what we can do and where we can go and what we can buy have come to an end. And social distancing turning into social isolation, even simply isolation. And we are forced to come daily, hourly, moment by moment, face to face with the one person from whom we have been fleeing for years, covering up with all our buying and our doing and our experiencing. And that one person is ourselves. It's in isolation, solitude, that we come to grips with our frailties, our faults, our failures, our flaws. And the Holy Spirit would bring them into relief so that he can then turn us. He can turn us to the righteousness, the holiness, the purity that the Holy Spirit would give to us. And that is the righteousness, the holiness, and the purity of Jesus, which the Holy Spirit would give, would grant, would cover us with through faith in Jesus. So here we are, isolated, alone, by ourselves, staring in a mirror, coming to grips with who we really are. And instead of seeing ourselves in that mirror, what if in looking into that mirror we saw our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, superimposed over our face? What if we saw Jesus there in the mirror? His holiness, his righteousness, covering up our sin, covering up our frailty, our faults. What if we saw Jesus there in the mirror and were convinced that even though, yes, we are the chief of sinners, as the Apostle Paul put it, Jesus has shed his blood for us. Jesus has died so that we might live forever. Jesus has lived so that we might never die. You see, that is also the work of the Holy Spirit. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, to convince us that through faith in Christ, our sins have been covered by his blood shed for us on the cross, and so our sins have been forgiven. Forgiven, continue to be forgiven every day. We have to be convinced, convicted of the fact that this is so. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. And he does so through the Word of God being preached to us right this very moment. And this is, in fact, the new song. The new song about which we sang in the introit, the new song of Psalm 98. A new song about a new kingdom, new creatures, new people, born not of the law or of works, but of God and of the Spirit, who themselves are miracles and who are working miracles in Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what Luther said about Psalm 98. The new song we sing as Christians is the good news of the gospel. What Christ has done for us. What Christ does through us. And of what we do through Him. And the wonderful thing is that even though we cannot now gather together and enjoy the fellowship of our love expressed for one another in Christ, we are, through the work of the Holy Spirit, convicting us of our righteousness in Christ, still in fellowship. Invisible fellowship, a fellowship of the Holy Spirit that spans all distances, all space, all time, as even now, this moment in Christ, we are in the fellowship and union and communion with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, with all the saints in heaven who've gone before us, and with every single Christian in every location around the world, all tribes, all languages, whether they are all by themselves, alone in a shack on an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, or right smack dab in the middle of New York City. The inability to gather together in a space physically doesn't change that fact, that work of the Holy Spirit, that expression of our Christian life, one iota. Yes, we are to gather together regularly around the Word of God and the sacraments, but what are we learning now, or relearning, as the case may be, but that the church really is the work of the Holy Spirit, convicting the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And that all occurs by means of the Word of God. That's why we confess, and we will hear in a few moments. That's why we confess in the Creed the Holy Spirit. And then we follow that confession of the Holy Spirit with the Holy Christian Church. And then the communion of saints. And then, the forgiveness of sin. And then, the resurrection of the body, life everlasting. Of course, comforting as well is the fact that the judgment of the Holy Spirit that we read about in this text, it's the judgment of Satan, isn't it? The fact that through the work of Christ, Satan has been judged. Yes, Satan is alive. Yes, he's screaming and hollering, spewing forth his lies and taunts and threats, but only in the way the prisoner convicted of heinous crimes does the same. He's being led from the courtroom to his demise, threatening everyone there. Scary, but he's bound and imprisoned. It's Christ, our Savior, who is King. Christ, to whom the Holy Spirit would continue to turn our hearts and turn our minds through his word of conviction. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.